Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
So I just realized for the last 5 minutes, everybody's been listening to absolute silence because my DJ software.
And that was all my best material.
That was all the best material. well, thank you very much, Sacha Claire Kirstie, and good night. And now we're
good
going.
Night.
And here's Bob with the weather. So let's just start that again.
Okay.
Welcome to Ever Beyond. It is April the 15th, 2012.
Is it?
It is. It still is. It's, you know, it's almost, wow. not for an hour, but it still is. And I've just been introducing Sacha with a great heartfelt thing. I'm going to try and reproduce
we'll
the tone
that one again.
Of what I was talking about.
Just pretend I'm not here.
Yeah. Okay. So Sasha's not here yet, and I'd like to introduce my guest, Sacha Kirstie. She has consistently posted amazing and funny and interesting and, as I said, sometimes scary posts on the Facebook group Wacky Leaks. Sasha has her own website, indeed, sashakirstie.com, and has many fantastic quotes, and I pulled one of them out of her biography here, and I think it's very apposite, and it goes something like this. When you're talking about the extraterrestrial agenda, if that's what they are, you cannot talk as if your conclusions are fact. They're based on scant evidence, which is only indicative that this could be the case. You should present what you think as just that, thoughts and ideas, as opposed to trying to state them as facts. There are no answers, no conclusions, and there is no closure until disclosure. Welcome to Ever Beyond, Sasha.
Very deep.
if you want me to record that for you, I'll.
Yeah, I like that. I've been having a little moment with words and things like that recently. Every time I've heard the word webmaster, I've always thought of some spotty nerd until I've got one, and it's like, ooh, sounds kind of sexy now.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're your own webmaster.
Webmaster. No. No.
Oh,
no. No. It's another language completely. It's magic to me.
Yeah, it's it's still magic to me. I've been in the IT business since the 1980s. Really, I mean, I was one of the first people on the planet to use email. You know, I was in fact one of the world's first postmasters. I mean, it's not a joke.
So did you have to write it in binary?
You had to press little buttons on a panel and then click a handle like a slot machine, and then that was the next word. You know, no, really, there was
like the Enigma machine.
Yeah, there was a machine like that. It was built in 1967. It was the IBM 360.
And it was the size of a house.
It was as big as a, well, actually you could probably get a caravan. You could, if you hollowed it out, you could probably live in one. I mean, that's how big it was. They had those big tape recorders all the way down the side, you know. Yeah. You know, in the 60s, they had the computer room and the
did it go wee-oo and bleep?
Only when there was a bell. When it crashed, right? There was actually a kind of like a fire bell, you know, thing that went off. And
is that your email has been sent?
Oh, this is this machine did not even speak to other people. It only talked in cards. You know, you could only feed cards in it. And in fact, the initial program had to be entered by a series of toggle switches on the front panel. Really, really, really. You had to program it like that. But that was the machine. I was just a receptionist. I didn't actually program that machine. It was a real beast. And it was, when was it? This was 1979 I started working there. And this machine had been running since 1967. And so it was old. And the silver on the circuit boards was almost powder. And if an operator, you know, these are the guys who operated the machine, if he wanted an extended break, all he would do was open the back of the computer and run his fingers down the board. And one of the circuit board was likely to crack during that. The bell would go off and, you know, off for a fag. Actually, several fags, you know, a whole packet. Because they had to get an engineer from Germany and, you know, it was just intense. It was a really...
Because the fire had gone out in the boiler.
That's right. It's run out of
I'll
hamsters.
I'll tell you what, though. If that was 1967 to 1979, you wouldn't get a computer to last, like... So 12 years now, would you?
Imagine, eh?
No way. Well, I'd love to, yeah. That'd be brilliant. So, I blow everything up anyway.
Do you? Yeah, I blow cars up, apparently.
I've got a car, it was 5 months old, and it was an engine malfunction on it, and went into the dealership, and they told me that the brain, whatever that is, on it had fried. I think they just simplified it for me because I was a girl. Some kind of sensor that I just wouldn't even understand.
Actually, that's the technical brain. Term. Actually, that is the technical term. You fried the brain.
I fried the brain. Brilliant. I've done that to people too.
Oh, I can hear our audience sizzling away quite happily. Yeah. Hopefully they've had some sesame oil. Right, so let me just get to the chat room. Just make
Save sense. Your brains, run
Hello,
away.
Hello, chat room. Yeah, so I believe there's a couple of friends in there of yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Hello.
Somebody was waiting for your show. And so it's really good. Some people say, I can't remember 79. we got about 2 minute delay to the chat room. So if you are wanting to look at the chat room, Sasha.
Yeah, I was just thought I'll do that. Actually.
It's wolfspiritradio.com. I'll give you a special link that doesn't start playing the radio there as soon as you come to the thing. Because by default, you know. The thing, what is it called? The webpage that's got the chat room and it's got a player on it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That thing.
The listen
right, okay.
page, yeah. Do you see that? That's in the chat room there. You got that.
I'll just type it in because, you know, it's easy.
All right. So we have lots to talk about. I mean... the things that you're interested in are many subjects close to my heart. Just to say that the show we normally do here is, it's, I call it an esoteric show, but I like to talk about what's behind things. And so it's like, rather than describe chemtrails, because everybody knows, everybody on who listens to the show, we all know about chemtrails. A lot of people experience chemtrails. We all know about, the MyLabs and things like that. We're very aware of the Super Soldier program, the MK Ultra program, and things like that. A lot of our audience are kind of up to speed. So you're able to, not quite preach to the choir, but you can speak to people who know what you're talking about. You don't need to explain yourself.
But that's good.
I might have
the basics are long forgotten.
Yeah, that's right.
But buried.
So excellent. So yeah, there you go. Says you've said hello. They're all there, and
I found the chat room now.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's great. So. Where should we start? Yes, well, we were just talking about, just before we came on the air, I used the word, I was talking about, we were talking about Joni Mitchell, who I played just before the show, and I told you, for the first time you're hearing, that she had Morgellons. Yeah, so...
Shocking.
It is. I've heard in, you know, that this thing happens in America a lot. Up here, I live right at the north end of Scotland, so there's no one here. So they don't chemtrail us. We have very clear air, we have very clean water, and there's no fluoride. Well, I actually have a spring.
Yeah, but you see, the weather systems start from up there, so, you know, there'd be no point. The weather system would move forward and into, you know, and then we'll start spraying at a certain point, you know. I don't really think the whole population control thing is the main driving force behind it at all. Mm. I actually think the main reasons are, one is a weapons application. It's everybody goes on about HAARP, but let me tell you, there are thousands of these arrays all over the world. They call them something different. They say they're for this, that, or the other, but essentially they are all exactly the same thing. What they've done is they've created all these extra radiation belts in the Hain experiments and Starfish Prime and all that. And what they're doing is they're actually using these as a... It's like a layered defense system, you know, like a kind of like the Russians had the woodpecker, but this is something like a spider's web that crawls out across the globe on three different layers at least, and these radiation belts. What they're doing with the crap that's in these trails is it actually elevates to these radiation belts. It attracts all the particles, mostly. Obviously, we have the flotsam falling to Earth, but... When you can hardly see them, but you can see the trails and you can see the planes and they're really high up, those are the ones that are spraying for this layered defence system, which can detect an electromagnetic pulse anywhere on it, which is now we're seeing UFOs instead of travelling along or think they're dropping or shooting straight up. It's because of this, I believe. Anyway, that's my opinion.
So let me just press pause here. So what you're talking about, when you say it's like a spider's web, it's like a spider's web in that when the spider is sitting on her web, if somebody makes a disturbance anywhere on the web, one of her legs will pick that up and she'll just scoot right over and do whatever she needs to do.
Yeah, they know exactly where on that web the anomaly has occurred.
Right, and they can do that by the drop, you know, whether there's an attenuation, a drop in energy level, and they can triangulate that, presumably.
It's for electromagnetic pulse detection mainly.
Right.
The thing is the way that propulsion technology is going now, there's all kinds of things in the air that people are mistaken for alien craft. It's actually our technology.
Yeah.
It's been there and available since the 50s. Mm-hmm. You know, it just went quiet, obviously, because they cracked it. So, obviously, when something works, you never hear about it again. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Boeing have just actually applied to use this, like, propulsion technology in their aircrafts, and they were denied. And it's their technology that they developed. So, you know, it's the military is sitting on this technology quite heavily. And they're using the UFO issue to mask it. You know, it's like, oh, it's ET. Oh, look at all these UFOs. Or it's 2012. Woo, all these UFOs are everywhere. It's not the false flag stuff, that alien invasion. Well, not saying they're not going to do that. But, you know, at the moment, they're just quite happily letting us think that and not be, you know, where we used to have all the parody of it. Nobody laughs at it anymore. They just kind of, you know, don't pay attention to it. And and that silence now is the shift in them wanting the UFO issue to become a popular cultural belief to hide their activity.
Right.
You know? Okay. So, nefarious indeed.
Right.
But the other application is the global warming one.
Yes, because that, as we all know, is now, is a complete scam.
Everything that they're saying that they're doing this for,
they're
spraying at such a low level that it's actually performing that
it's doing
on a low level when it should be up in the ionosphere doing these particle reflections, blah, blah, blah. But they're spraying at, like, you know, 600-700 feet. Below the cloud some days. Mm. If there was the cloud level, you can see it when it's cloudy, the clouds are there, and then when the planes are coming over, when it's clear, they're actually below that level. So it's like, well, nothing's going up in the air. It's far too low. There isn't the weather for it. It actually said on our weather recently that we've got, it's a lovely day, it's 15 degrees, and it's foggy and misty. Impossible. So I went to a hill near me, at the top of the hill, where you could see right over my city, and I'm filming on my touchscreen phone, and the screen's jumping about all over the place. It's been affected by this dry fog. I went up to my car, I went, fog and mist are wet, and I went and wiped my finger on it, my finger is dry. You know, this is not fog. What this is we have a dry spell, there's not much moisture in the air, and which is why we've got this kind of haze. It's just particles of this stuff, and it's kind of supposed to be reflecting the light and the heat back up, but what it's actually doing is it's trapping it in. And so we're getting all these weather problems, and we're getting all the melting ice, and we're getting these illusions of global warming, but it's actually manufactured by them, and it's done deliberately because of the amount of money that they can make out of people in guilt tax.
So they've actually figured
out.
It's
your fault because you don't turn your TV off properly at night. And that advert that we had on TV in England when it showed all the animals drowning, and it was done like a cartoon, and it was on at tea time for the children. It got banned because it was that disturbing, you know. And it's like, and they're giving us all that guilt and fear, and, oh, we've got to reset, we've got to do this and that. If they stopped churning all this crap out, we wouldn't have to recycle if we could reuse it all. And me not turning my TV off properly on a night is not going to make those animals drown in 10 years. You know, it's the industries. But they pass it all on to us, and we just don't even do anything about it. We're so apathetic, it makes me mad. So I get more mad at people for doing nothing than I do at them for doing it.
So actually, what we need to do is to turn our TV off in the daytime. So that
just turn it off forever.
Exactly.
It's rubbish anyway. Go read a book.
So here, I've got a question from the chat room. And the question is a very valid one because, you know, there's lots of stuff going on. And the question is, who is responsible for developing chemtrails? Who is they? Who are they? Can you name some names, Sasha?
There are, if you go to Google, type in Weather Modification Inc. or Weather Modification Company's directory, you will see a list longer than you can believe of people out there quite happily who will sell their services to you, having a party, no problem. If the weather's bad, we'll come along with a rocket, we'll shoot it up into the clouds, and it'll be clear all day for you. You know, there are, it's just not illegal. It's not run by anybody in particular. Anyone can do it. The military are obviously using it as applications, and I should imagine that the jet companies that are spraying as well, you know, like EasyJet, they've been caught out spraying. They must be getting massive discounts or, you know, backhanders in some kind of, you know, it'd be you paying for it in your carbon, offsetting your carbon footprint, because they'll then attribute that to, well, we need to put on this because this is the countermeasure for all the damage you've done, for the size of your carbon footprint. So, you know, there's absolutely billions and trillions and billions of pounds in this, and everybody's on it. It's just absolutely unbelievable. So they are anybody who you want. Just to go and have a look online, there's thousands of them.
Weather Modification. Let me
Weather Modification Companies, Geoengineering. I've got sites. I couldn't even go concentrate on talking and find them now on my computer. But, you know, I've gone into something and I just can't even believe what I'm seeing. I've seen videos of people going into these companies with the camcorders pointing at the ground but still recording and asking questions, and these people are just, oh yeah, blah blah, we do this, we do that, we do the other. I've seen emails from mechanics describing the equipment that they've seen on the back of these planes, that's not right, you know, what's that, where's this come from, let's follow it around, what's that box.
Wow.
You know, oh, it's shocking.
It is. And what is even more shocking is the it's the way it just seems to be kind of normal nowadays. They're trying to normalize it. They have chemtrails in adverts now.
They're actually trying to make you believe that it's always been going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the Virgin Trains advert with all the celebrities in it and the railway children. Well, I listened to Andrew Johnson, and he was on, I think it Paranormal Guys, and he said, I want to find photographs or footage of any chemtrails in the sky before 1986. And I thought, well, Railway Children was in the 70s, and there's a chemtrail in that. So I told him, and he sent me a clip of the actual film itself, and there's no chemtrail there at all. So he told me that this is what they're doing, and it's called historical subliminal. they put things in old things, you know, like they redigitize whatever and they might just slide a couple in somewhere. Yeah, and then you think that it's always been there. So when, you know, like my children, they'll never have seen a sky without a chemtrail in it. They don't know what the sun looks like. They've never seen the sun as an orange ball of fire in the sky like I did when I was little. What we see is a massive big circle or a massive great big splash of blinding. Like, it's not even white, it's just painful to even look at. You know, I was even thinking about surveying insurance companies and asking how many people now made claims for rear-ending people because they can't see properly because they were blinded by the sun. I bet there has been a massive increase in that.
I wonder.
I just can't be bothered. I've got too much else to do.
Maybe somebody can do that. Sasha, yeah. before you go to the next or continue, could you tell people your website, and do you have this information classified there, or is it a work in progress?
Well, I've actually only just got the website online on Sunday.
Yay.
And somebody to buy Absolute Rescue and build this website for me, which is amazing. So it's sashachristie.com, but there's not a great deal on it right now, but there will be, and all of this, and I'm going to have a document archive as well, all the documents that I have, which is hundreds, and they're all official documents from Freedom of Information requests, etc. Everything, you know, that I've got, I'm just going to put out there for everybody to have a look at, because I think it's important that these things are easily accessible, because some of them have been absolute miracles that I've even found, or it's really, you have to learn how to type in the CIA, especially in their FOIB. It's like you have to do it in capital letters, know the date and know the number of this, blah, blah, blah. You know, and if you don't do it, you go, oh, sorry, document not found. So, you know, it's really hard to get hold of some of these things, and so I'm just going to put that out for everybody, and a few widgets on helping you if you've had a UFO sighting, you know, like flight lines and wind direction for orange balls of light, you know, because they're not all lanterns, you know, just kind of constellations and kind of narrow things down a little bit for yourself before you go getting carried away and thinking that you've seen a UFO and reporting it as one, when in fact it's not, because we have way too much of that to wade through. So I just kind of, you know, want to give people the means to be a little bit more discerning and, you know, kind of not put so much crap out there.
In today's weird world, where information, misinformation and disinformation are homogenized in a blender, it's a very good thing to have tools for discernment. And I praise you for that.
It's not that people are stupid or anything. It's just that people don't know what to think of. I can hear myself.
Oh, sorry. Are you echoing? All right. Let me just
turn
that
off. It's amazing. Voices in my head are back.
I'll just turn my speakers down. It's been normally all right up to now, but sometimes it happens with Skype. It forgets to cancel the sound. How's that?
Hello. Yep, that's it. That was me actually saying that twice, so that's fine.
So,
where were we off now then?
Where were we? Because there's a guy in the chat room, Astronaut, and I think he's from Holland, and he's coming up with some amazing stuff. He said he's shot down a UFO using high frequency FM transmitter, high powered transmitters and stuff like that. But when you're talking about you got your groups, you've worked with UFO groups in Britain locally?
Not really. I mean, I did write for UFO Data magazine and done a couple of Skywatch type things, but I've actually kind of just floated about on my own, because every time you get involved in a group, there's politics and egos, and I just think, well, I'm not here for that. I actually want to find something out. So, you know, I just kind of wander off. I think, oh, no, can't do it. But, you know, I do know a lot of people, and I kind of get involved with things, but I don't, you know, sort of team up with anyone really, because, like I say, politics and ego, just I've no time for it.
And you've got a life.
Well, have I?
Tell the people how many children you brought up.
Four.
Four. Oldest?
Yeah. 20. Youngest is almost four.
Almost four. Oh, soon. Soon, any day now.
I know. I think September, September he goes to school.
But, you know, and here's the dilemma, you know. We see all this stuff and we read David Icke and we say, you know, oh, well, I'm sure we've got to make sure he's going to a good school, you know.
There isn't one,
you know, it's like...
I say, come on, time to get you to your brainwashing facility.
That's right.
I do.
My son is very used to me saying, everything they tell you is a lie, Joseph.
Well, my children, I mean, I've read to them from them being tiny, with, you know, all the rest of it. They are so amazing. My youngest daughter is a science genius, apparently, yeah. And they've got some extra funding for her at school for extra classes and experiments that she can do and on the computer and what have you. She teaches the little kids, I know she's only little, but, you know, the really little ones, mm-hmm. How to read in a little Shining Lights class that she does. And she has a book club that she runs. And... my other daughter
How old is this one?
She's nine years old,
running a book club and runs her own classes.
And her best friend runs this school newspaper, yeah.
Which one is your webmaster?
Although my son was saying to her, well, why didn't you ask me to build you a website? I was like... Well, because, you know, you're never about and you're too flaky most of the time. You're 20. You know. But my eldest daughter, she wrote a book when she was 8. She never even told anyone she was doing it. I found it in the bedroom. Wow. I was like, what's this? She went, no, I was just writing. I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah. You know, the education is just school. I mean, every single word anyone ever said to me just bounced off my forehead anyway. I didn't take anything in. I thought I was thick. You know,
until you discovered that the reason that you can't hear anything is because you only can hear truth. It only makes sense if it's true.
I was just allergic to listening to teachers, I think. Well, you see, and that was in like 70s, 80s, and what were we told then that actually is relevant or right anymore? So it was a good job I never bothered. It's just more rubbish to delete from your memory banks,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So it's like education. It's really at home with the people, you know, that you associate with, and they actually become what they see. So if you're motivated, active, working, doing whatever, and all your friends are, then that's what life is, and that's what they do. It's just monkey see, monkey do, literally, I think.
Aye. So you fancy a bit of Pink Floyd?
Should
we play Another Brick in the Wall, part 3?
Why not? That sounds like a good one.
That sounds like, right, if only I can just zoom down to my Pink Floyd. Where is the wall this too?
But I'll tell you what, though, the school is lovely. I think that it is a good school. It's a great brainwashing facility as far as brainwashing facilities go.
Right. Oh, very good. There we go. Another Brick in the Wall, part 3. There's Pink Floyd. We'll be back after this. Bloody thing happened again. Hang on, I've really got to change that. Ever since the music, that conversation that we had since the music, Sasha?
No way!
It happened again.
All right,
it's because of a setting, right? On there. Okay. Right. I've just disabled that thing from happening. So, welcome back from part 2.
Blimey, have I been through a time slip twice already?
This is it. Yes. We've been dropping down the rabbit holes. Sash and I were having a really good conversation about something.
I think
you've
just dug two of your own now, actually.
Yeah.
You've blamed them all.
And the ground is very weak beneath my feet. Yeah. Very sorry about that. We had got faint sound. What do you mean faint sound? You can't have faint sound. Is it faint sound? No, it's not that faint. We're yakking away. Sasha, do you want to say something?
Boo.
Oh, You see, Sasha's very loud. Maybe the cat's adjusted the mixer again. Sometimes my cat walks across my mixing desk. She spends most of her time...
All your faders belong to me now.
Yeah, that's right. All your faders. So we have Sasha Christie, the infomaniac housewife. I think that's so brilliant.
I don't know how that happened.
It catches the eye, I tell you. A couple of it really perked. When I typed that into the chat room, a couple of them perked up. They said, "Ooh, info."
Yeah, even Eddie Izzard accepted my friend request on the basis of my name.
Excellent.
Kudos. Some total of our interactions.
Excellent. That's really brilliant. So where were we? We were talking about something really interesting and I forgot what it was. Can you remember what we were talking about just as we came off the break?
Not a clue.
No. My labs. Well, anyway, look, let's take it another place. During the break, you mentioned tattoos and markings and things like that. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah.
You comfortable?
Yeah.
So,
it's okay. There's even a photograph of me, and you can see me knickers on Facebook.
Ooh!
All out there. No, well, the more I say, the more I hear from other people that mirrors mine. Validates me, validates them. You found another friend. What's wrong with that? You know. Well, I've had all kinds of weird experiences. We all do, don't we? We have the weird dreams. We have this funny whatever that happens on the night, and it's all DMT, or it's sleep paralysis, or it's nothing spiritual. No, God forbid. You know, and it all kind of gets lumped in with the alien abduction thing, and the alien abduction, that two set of words, has been parodied so much that you just say it to people, and without even a thought in their head, because they haven't even had time to register, they go like that. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Right. But they'll read all the books about it, they'll be on all the websites, they'll be all talking the talk, but as soon as somebody says, "Oh, I've had this happen," and you'll go, "Oh, no, you haven't." You know, it's like, "Well, why haven't I?" Because I'm clever and I'm going to tell you why, and I'll tell you what it was. Even though I know I didn't see it and I can't possibly comment, I am going to, you know, and this is fact. So all these different experiences are all different things. And some of the things that I have, obviously I've had ET interaction, or so I think anyway, and the other one is my labs. Now, when you start talking about your experiences, you just go, blah, blah, blah. I'm having this happening and I'm really lost and I want to die and I can't cope and somebody help. And then you kind of make friends or lunatics or whatever, you know, and you find yourself in this world of absolute nonsense, and you either get to grips with it and find the facts and the vein to follow, or you get caught in with all the Palladian channeling light brigade workers, you know what I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Who are so quick to lose their minds about everything, you know, as soon as you question them, they just pee their pants, blocked and deleted, and that's it. So there's all this stuff that you're just swimming in. And so you talk and you talk and you talk, and the more you talk, the more you expose yourself, and all of a sudden you find yourself having even more experiences, but they're taking a little slightly different turn, a turn for the worse, because you're waking up with bruises and they're in places where you just know that there's no way that you could ever have a bruise there. You know, I've had puncture marks and bruises in the backs of my hands, and one of the things that I have that is a total mystery is like a blue dot that's in my armpit, which I thought was a burst vein, but when I had it looked at, because that normally if you have a burst vein after, well, you know, at least a couple of years, the clot breaks down, disappears, it's gone, it's nothing, it changes, it, you know, it doesn't look the same after time. And anyway, this is it's just exactly as it was when I discovered it about 14 years ago. And, you know, it was actually a friend, he's dead now, unfortunately, but he was a tattoo artist, and he said, "That looks like a tattoo to me." So, well, I was like, well, why have I got a tattoo in my right armpit? What is that about, you know? And it's been a puzzle to me forever. But, you know, with the other things that I have going on, it's like, well, is that, you know, how would you tell one group of projects from another? You know, is it one dot for that, two dots for them, one's on the backside, that, you know, they have them in their armpit or, you know, whatever. I mean, I know that they have white ink now, which is only visible in UV light. So, I mean, I suppose they're probably using that on people if that's what they're doing, identifying marks. So, yeah, they, as soon as you start talking, you've had it. So this is why I do what I do. It's like trying to keep people under wraps, really. So don't go shouting your mouth off because, you know, you're going to have things happen to you that you really do not want to happen.
It's the last thing you need.
Actually, really has occurred to somebody that I know recently who decided that she wanted to help people. And she had some skills in, you know, the emotional freedom techniques, etc. And very lovely woman. And I said to her, well, what experiences have you had? And she said, oh, I haven't had any. And I went, well, you will now. So I hope you're ready for it, you know, because you're interacting with these people and you're saying these things and you're pushing this forward. They are going to target you. And of course, she's now had an experience. And when I say target, it's not just the fact that they take you from your house somehow to somewhere else somehow and do whatever they do and then put you back without anybody ever noticing, seeing, or you remembering most of it or whatever. You know, it's like they even follow you, like, in your phone calls and your mail and, you know, in the car sometimes. And every time I'm going to do a radio show, my laptop starts to play up about half an hour before. It always sorts itself out, but it's just absolutely standard now. Yeah. I've even been cut off on radio shows talking about military stuff. You know, I'm involved with a lot of military men in the Rendlesham Forest incidents and Robert Salas as well. He's a very lovely man and got quite a good friendship as well. So, you know, I mean, with all the military stuff, and I'm shouting my mouth off about what I think things are, and saying that in one of the experiences in one of my labs, I actually saw a man stood in front of me in a dark green uniform, and he had a cap on, and, you know, I could totally draw it, and if I ever saw it, I would know it in a second. And he turned to me and he said, don't worry, it won't take long to adjust. Turned away, boom. And I was sat in it was like a metal room with a, you know, like a door like you would have in a submarine or something like that to my left. And he was in front of a control panel and I was sat on a plastic chair that was bolted to the wall. And the whole room was just that kind of like red emergency lighting. And that's all he said. And I often, you know, for a couple of years wondered if that was like some craft or whatever, but I actually think it was probably a lift now. Wow.
It could be, or it could be some shuttle vehicle or something.
Transport device, yeah. Oh, it's nuts. And I mean, one of the experiences that I had, I actually thought, well, it was the worst one I've ever had, that I can recall. Having something like being like shrink wrapped, so the top half of my body and my face, everything was just like pinned into place, but all of the air was taken out of my lungs at exactly the same time, so I couldn't breathe in, and there was nothing, there was just no air. And you know, you go from being asleep to that, and you're kicking up, you know, my legs are kicking out, you know, just complete panic, instant panic.
Right, yeah.
Then I actually went completely ice cold, but not just my skin, all the way through my body. I actually felt my heart freeze. And I thought I was dying. I thought I was being murdered. You know, it was it wasn't even a kind of like cohesive thought. It was, you know, when you can't breathe and you're being frozen, well, you're dead, aren't you? You know? So, and then, whatever the covering was kind of like cut at my mouth and I was breathing. But I was having difficulty talking. I was trying to cry for help, but my voice was very weak and quiet and I had to really concentrate. And, I felt pins and, you know, like needles in my fingers, and I turned. Well, I didn't turn. My head was tilted to the left, but I kind of moved a little bit, and I looked, and I had this little black dog chewing on my hand. and everything was surrounded by blue. But the more I've talked about it, the more I've thought about it, the more I've learnt about it, the more I've understood it and not been so scared to remember. Mm. I've actually had more recall. And I remember seeing now that my hand was on a blue cloth on a steel little trolley table type thing. And just a little bit forward to that, but still to my side, on my left-hand side of the bed that I was on, was like a machine. It didn't go ping, but it was like it looked like a piece of hospital equipment. It was like it looked like a gas meter, but it had a window in it. And across the window, in the middle, was a horizontal red line, and behind it, a graph was printing out. And as soon as I remembered it, I thought, "How did I even forget that? I actually remember seeing it. Mm. Where did that memory of it go? How did that vanish?" And it's like the blue bleeds over everything that you can see. It's really strange.
So it's like the kind of mental electromagnetic mask that they're putting over your memory.
It's really, it's clever. But I don't believe it was a dog bite, man. In fact, it didn't even have any eyes. It just looked like a big lump of hair bouncing about. But since then, I've had problems with circulation in my hands, and I've got my bones move around in my hands. So, I have trouble with them. And they wanted to do all these tests, and one of them was testing my nerves and how they function by these needles in my fingertips, which is exactly what was happening in that experience. Now, on my right hand, the next day, my right hand was covered in a series of seven, I think, bruises. But each one had a puncture mark in them, and one of them was absolutely agonising for a long time. I couldn't even touch it. So I have wondered since then if that was some kind of chip that the military use, because I don't believe that ET even need any kind of technology like that to find us, that was attached to nerve endings, which is why they were testing, doing this very similar procedure to what they wanted to do at the hospital. And when I got to that point with the treatment investigation, I just thought, well, I know what this is about, and well, what's the point? They're never going to find anything. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of everybody's time. It's just one ailment I'll just have to deal with, So, it does stuff to your body. It affects your health. It affects your mind. It affects your life. It affects everything. And people laugh at it.
I know. That's the, like, literally insult to injury. And, you got to know that we here, me personally, and everybody here at Wall Spirit Radio absolutely take this seriously. We know from both sides, because Aaron McCollum, who's also been part of the Super Soldier program, has talked about him doing the MyLabs, from the other perspective. So yeah. We know that these things...
I would like to have a conversation with him, actually, because... obviously I want to know. Mm. And but the one thing that really confused me for a long time in the same experience was the fact that there were ET there. Mm. And I remember seeing briefly when all this was over and I was I stood up, I noticed that there was a little girl stood in front of me, and I was absolutely horrified to see a child there. My instinctive motherly reaction was to grab hold of her, mm. And I didn't even think about it. I just took steps forward with my arms out to grab her, and I was just going to grab hold of her, literally. And she smiled at me, and her face changed into this real crocodilian grin. The eyes changed, the mouth changed. The human skin was still there, but all wrinkled and twisted and, and I recoiled in horror, and that was my only record. I could remember that I knew that there was something else that I wasn't seeing that was just in front of me, but I don't think I'd dare even look, really, to want to remember. But then recently, when I remembered this about the white machine and the whatever they were doing, when this little girl, this little creature smiled at me, I took steps back and turned to my left and looked at somebody. Oh. So there was someone with me. So, but then since then, I've remembered that what was behind this girl was a great big blue lizard.
Ah, a blue one.
Mm. But, I didn't even see the head. It was like it was bent over looking down at something, and I saw the back and the shoulders, and she was obviously like up to sort of like the middle of its back, big hulking shoulders, massive, at least 7 feet at the shoulders, at least. And also there was a metal pole to the left, and what looked like, I kind of thought were windows, but like light panels, like at least 3 or 4 light panels, and there's somebody stood in front of one next to me, but I can't pull out who that is yet. I'm hoping that memory will come with time, you know. So, but the thing with this little girl was, I'd read a book about Jason Andrews, who is MyLab's totally in this country, very, you know, famous, lifelong abductee. Mm-hmm. Poor kid has been tortured in his life with this. And I went to see him talk, and we became friends anyway, and his family, his mum, I kind of adopted as my mum, you know. And I went to see him at a talk, and I was watching him, and I'm seeing all this pulsing around him, and I'm thinking, ooh, I'm seeing an aura, brilliant, ooh. You know, because it doesn't happen that often, so I'm looking, and it's pulsing, but it's kind of spiky, and it was dark blue, and it was just like pulsing and pulsing and pulsing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually I realized it wasn't around him anymore, it was behind him like a shadow. And it was like the shape, it was a not a person, but you know, a bipedal figure with quite a large head. And then I realized that in front of that, there was a little thing, and these were completely see-through. Yeah, but they were just kind of like colors in the air, if you like. And the little thing in front of it was, got about the same size as my son, who was, he's nearly 4 in height. And, it was thin and small, and it was kind of a pale color, but it looked like it had glitter. It was like a snowball. And I'm looking at it, and I looked away, because I thought, right, well, if you see things like that, sometimes, you know, when you look at a light, you look at a wall, you've got that imprint. So I'm looking everywhere else, I look back, and it's still there.
Oh.
And then this thing comes out of the side of this blue thing. It's just like another arm comes out, say, from just around about the hip. No hand, but just like, you know, like a forearm, say. And I watched a bit drop off it. Now, he stood to my left, feet away, and this blob of stuff dropped at my feet. How the hell? I mean, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, I can't even believe I'm seeing this, but I am seeing this. And it was like a tear shape, but the point was pointing towards me. And I looked away again, and I looked at it. It's still there, and I thought, this is just nuts. And I went over to the UFO data table where Mike was selling the magazines, and I went to go tell him what I'd just been watching. And all the time I'm thinking, draw it, draw it. And I'm thinking, don't take your eyes off it because it'll go, you know, this little internal dialogue going on. And I got to the table and I got halfway through telling him. I looked down and the person that I'd gone with had drawn it on a piece of paper and left it on the table. I went, who drew that? He said, Vitaly. I went, no way, I saw that. I've just come to tell you that I saw that. And the experience that I had with the MyLab and everything was when I stayed at his mum's house and I slept in his hall bedroom. So I think these two things that I saw behind him and come out of him...
were the same things?
Were the same things.
The blue lizard and the little girl thing.
Yeah, and it's well documented in the books and everything and all the psychological blah that he's gone through, that he has agreed on a level to let these things be with him. So they can experience what he experiences, because they have no other way of doing it unless they are within your physical frame with you, which I find quite disturbing. But, you know, that's the way it's all panned out, and that's what I've got to deal with, you know?
So just run that one by again, that they can only do things if
experience,
it's with...
feel and sense and smell and taste.
Oh, I see.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
And there was an incident where he, because his and his mum keeps horses, and you know, they used to love going out horse riding, and Jason fell off the horse and really hurt himself, and they didn't like that, and they didn't bother him for a little while.
How interesting.
So, you know, it sounds as, God, it just sounds so stupid. I know it does. It sounds ridiculous. But I've seen it with my eyes. This is, I only say the things that I know to be true because I've seen them for myself. It's up to the listener to take it or not, you know, it doesn't really make a difference to my existence whether people believe me or not, because when you've seen something with your own eyes, it doesn't matter what anybody says. No. I saw it with my eyes, you know.
So,
when I was awake.
Do you know 07? Band called 07?
Do I know 07?
Heard of 07? Nice band. Ambient stuff. This is called I Have Seen. We're going to take a little break. Coming back.
Oh, you meant the member in the chat room then. Yeah. I was like,
So anyway, this is I Have Seen, and go and stretch your legs, everybody, and enjoy this nice piece of music.
Yeah. I'll just go with it.
And we're back. Thank you very
Hello.
Much.
Hello. Blah, blah, blah.
So,
I've just told the punchline now.
You've just, well, I heard the punchline, but nobody else has, so I'll forget about it by the end of the story. Because it sounds like a very interesting story. So,
It is.
Just like we've been doing so far, we're...
I don't do beige, darling.
You don't do beige?
No. If it's bland, we don't want to know.
So, here we are. We're now in the 21st century and speaking on the internet. Yeah. Just to get a fix on this, you know. We've seen lots of amazing things, and there are things that are happening, particularly this year. You know, everybody's talking... Oh, well, there's a lot of people that still say, nothing different from any other year.
I wish it had hurry up if it's going to happen, because I'm bored of it already.
Yeah, it's getting a bit intense, though, isn't it? I mean...
It's like Armageddon fed up with this sleep.
But I think the big thing is that all these Armageddon things and the end of the world and all these bollocks is
the world's always going to end.
Yeah. Oh, apparently you can say bollocks because it's not against the FCC rules.
Oh, say bollocks. Yeah. Brilliant. Bollocks. Bollocks, bollocks.
Yeah, and, you in there, and wanker as well. Wanker's a good one.
Oh, wanker, brilliant. Right.
Meanwhile.
My two favourite words.
Meanwhile, you were talking about a friend of yours, who is your best friend forever, that you've just met.
My best friend forever that I just met. You totally blow me away now, because I think that has just actually happened. But anyway, no, you mean the lady.
A lady.
That I was telling you about. Lady. Well, doing my bilge on Facebook, and I float past conversations sometimes, and I see somebody being an arse, and I go, blah, 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 whatever, brain vomit, and off we go. And then apparently I defended this woman, it was some conversation about hypnosis, regression, whatever, I can't even remember it. And she sent me a friend request, and I recognised the profile picture, and her name was quite bonkers, so I thought, you know, I realised... that I had seen her around, so I added her. And she'd like started telling me, she'd been on my Facebook about a week. And then I got like an email from her, and she was telling me about all these experiences that she'd been having and how frightened she was, and, you know. And so we got 24 pages of emails. However many, how many emails in there, I have no idea, but I printed the lot off. And talked to her for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, a lot, you know, really has a lot of conversations, because we have quite a lot of in common. And then after about like 4 or 5 days, she told me that what I'd done, I'd defended her, and the conversation that I'd jumped into was about this footage that she'd managed to capture of herself disappearing and reappearing in a bed.
Wow.
And obviously, nobody believed her, because nobody believes anybody. Yeah. And so,
unless it's on TV, of course.
Of course.
On what they call the news.
Yeah. Whatever. Can't even have that on. My kids laugh at me. I start screaming at the TV. Anyway, she was telling me that she was so convinced something was going on that she made her husband set something up in the bedroom, and he got like a cheap little camera attached to a laptop that was hooked up to a DVD recorder. And she'd gone through the footage, this this particular day, because she was convinced something had gone on. And however many hours into her being asleep, the covers just drop. And the husband's there, and her side of the bed, and she's a big lady, right? She's, quite overweight, so there's the size to see. I'm not saying she's like the size of an elephant or anything like that, but she's there, and the covers drop and she's gone. And then 13 minutes later, it's like this massive inflation, this like, her arm comes up, she just, vroom, like disappears, and the covers all, and she sort of like gets herself comfy. And then you don't see this bit that's on the internet, and she just kind of sits up and starts looking around and turns around and wakes her husband up. Now, if I'd have seen that, I'd have been, bloody hell, that's good, trying to figure out how she might have done it.
Yeah, Darren Brown style.
That's quite interesting. I don't dismiss everything completely out of hand, but I never put my money on it, ever. So, because I talked to her for all that time, and all of the things I say, she says, people talk a certain way when they've had these experiences. There's certain things that people say, like, I had to pretend that they were real to be able to deal with it. That is some funky trick the brain's come up with that wouldn't think, oh, I know what I'll say that. Yeah. It just wouldn't even occur to you. Or the fear of going to the toilet and don't want to put your, all these things, the tiny, tiny details are the ones that are the most important. And, if I hadn't have heard her voice, listened and had that, oh my God, yeah, I know, that kind of girly exchange thing, I would not have put my money on it, but I will tell you something now. If I had an A, I would put my money on it. No, seriously. Seriously. Oh, yeah. Because then, when I went to see her doing a talk at Leeds Exopolitics in August, she's talking about this experience that she's had, and there's a drawing somebody's done for a rendition of it, and there's all these green lasers pointing everywhere that she's seen. Now, one of the experiences I had, I woke up with my legs in the air, apart, with my arm in the air, and a green dot of light in the crook of my elbow, and somebody stood at my feet, and I kind of woke up and laughed at myself, thinking out I was acting out my dream or something, like, oh my God, what are you doing? And I was like, oh my God, I just couldn't even feel my body, there was nothing there. And, and I said, put the light on. To whoever it was my fake. And I'm thinking to myself, if they put the light on, I'll be able to move. I just went back off to sleep. And I remember the whole thing. And I realised the next day, my room's orange because I've got a street light right outside my window. Mm-hmm. And this room wasn't orange at all. It was kind of smoky grey. And I sort of had that memory of the round ceiling thing that everyone says. But I know that it wasn't actually a ceiling. It was my eyelids that I was looking through, given that curvature. But it was the green dot of light. And I thought, right, that's two now. I've never heard it before. I've heard it again. And it just so happens I've been researching blue light because of all the blue that I saw in the other experience. So I'm looking into it, and I thought, medical applications, green light, darling Google. It comes back up with green light therapy approved for medical use in Japan in May this year.
Oh.
This is August. My experience was in 2007. Mm. So I was like, wow, okay, now that's interesting. So what is this? They're obviously transferring some kind of thing into our bodies using light. And then somebody sent me a document about this DNA frequency modulator.
Exactly, that was going through my mind, bingo. DNA.
Right, I thought, right, okay, so this is what they do. They take the male, they put the frequency modulated laser ray, transfers frequency by light into the prostate, repairs any genetic anomalies in the sperm. Mm. They take the woman, they do the same to her eggs. And then when she's pregnant, because this therapy does not work in vitro, which means, well, in the uterus, they actually work on the mother because she's the one who's building the baby. So the baby has been genetically improved 3 times over by the time it's born. But of course, thanks to our wonderful pharma companies jumping in with their poisons, it's medical fact that all of these foreign bodies into our system causes a mutagenicity, which on every cell regeneration, part of the DNA of that cell is overwritten. and it's just deleted. So, you know, they go, oh, 90% of your DNA is junk. No, it's not. 90% of your DNA is actually language, and it behaves like language. It has rules, and it is your history. But the way that the farm, everybody, even the radiation in the air has caused this problem in people now. Everywhere, even if you've never had a pharmaceutical in your life, you are now partially deleting yourself, your history, your makeup. And this is why we are now seeing so many babies that are poorly with real genetic problems, you know, and genetic malfunctions, not inherent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is because we've got corrupted father, corrupted mother, baby don't stand a chance. Repair those two first before they even get at it, and then afterwards as well. And you keep on it. And then, you know, and then afterwards, it's like, you know, children have experiences when and then they remember them up to being five. They're always talking about blah, 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 you know. It's because they have to counteract this damage that's being done to the human race. Whatever reason they need us for, and I am not even going to go into that one because the speculation is just ridiculous. For whatever reason it is, they need us to be in tip-top shape. If it is some kind of breeding program, let's face it, we are probably genetically engineered helpers, caretakers, whatever. Nice. And, you know, we're all over the universe and all different planets, but we need slight modifications to breathe that kind of air, that kind of air, that water, blah, whatever, the atmosphere, gravity, etc. Right? So, you know, if that is the case, then they're actually doing us a favour as well. But the thing that happens is people go, oh, I'm an indigo and I'm a crystal starseed, what's it, blah, and I'm from Pleiades. Right, fine, you might be, but I don't think you are really. I think what's happening is because this is happening to the, what they're doing is sending a frequency of the, say, you've got a kidney problem, your parents have got kidney problem, a mother's going to have breast cancer, for example. So the kidneys have a certain, every kidney cell has a certain frequency that it resonates at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every cell in your body has that. So you need to know the frequencies, and you direct this frequency through light onto these cells, or to the kidneys, say, or the uterus, and it repairs all the genetic damage. It removes it. It's not there anymore because all of your cells are resonating at the right frequency, which a cancer cell is obviously resonating at a different frequency. I was like, how the hell have they figured this out? I buy New Scientist magazine all the time. I open it up one day. Little nano gold tech ears listening to cells. They vibrate, and because they're metal, they can pick up the frequency. Obviously. Ba-da-da. So, you know, I'm like, wow, this is bonkers. So we really don't need any of these drugs, do we? Wow. Actually, we don't really need anything. All we need to do is, if somebody is ill, they need to go to the doctor. They need to be treated with this frequency, this light frequency combination, at the right frequency, directed at the right organ, at the right frequency, and bingo.
Yes.
Yeah?
I'm going to add to that when you take a pause on that. Go on.
There you go. Paused.
Okay. One of our regular guests, and in fact my first guest ever on Ever Beyond, is a lady by the name of Shari Edwards from Ohio.
Oh, I got there.
And she has developed a system of frequency analysis and frequency treatments using frequency. You can, if you want to have a listen, and anybody can.
I've probably come across her, actually, because of all that, obviously, I started looking into it, you know,
yes.
So I've probably I might have read something of hers, because
yes.
The name she's is extremely
familiar. She's got various courses that you can go to and take online, for treating, for instance, PTSD, which is certainly a my level.
Well, it's actually, that is one of the most important conditions that needs addressing in this actual area.
Right? Well, we're all traumatized. I think, you know, the 9/11, and I think for Britain, Princess Diana's death was the British 9/11, because it traumatised us all.
It was the British JFK, wasn't it?
Yeah. It traumatised us all. And, you know, I think it was probably an experiment that they did in Britain first, and then they did it in the States with 9/11, is to continuously traumatise the public by creating a great big mystery. By saying,
oh, there's so much of it. It's like, it's what, who remembers the oil spill now?
Yeah.
When do you ever see anybody mentioning that anymore?
Exactly.
You know, all these awakened people seem to just be swept along over the tide like the rest of the sheeple. Mm. that they call them that I hate, actually. Sorry to interrupt you.
So use the word that you hate, but I know it's a very convenient term.
No, that's their terminology. The language is theirs, the sheeple. Yeah. That's so elitist, I don't ever use it.
Mm.
So, condescending.
So, you're absolutely spot on. I've also, I got a 660 nanometer, light system. I got it from, one of the guys in the chat room here, from Canada. And, it's basically, it was, designed as a sign. You know, the little marquee signs you get in the shop, you know, buy your lottery tickets now. It's a little one of those. And it's the specific red light from that. Is exactly 660 nanometers, which is the frequency of our nervous system. It's the light that our DNA and our cells emit, and our brain talks to our cells on this frequency as a carrier wave.
So wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so it can kind of recharge your cells, your whole cell structure, or your blood cell structure. You put it on a vein or an artery, and it'll recharge the cells like little batteries.
Did I tell you the Japanese thing was for pelvic health in women and prostate cancer in males?
Ah, right, which goes back to the green laser.
The green light is for pelvic health in women and the prostate cancer in males. And obviously, I had my legs in the air, and all these women were having these procedures. In Sonia's recollection. So, yeah, that was kind of a major chunk of the story that I needed to add in there. So that's
right. So it's the green frequency there. And
green frequency was for cancers and for genetic issues in your nether regions. Yeah.
Right. Because also from David Wilcock's book, The Source Field Investigations, which. Like him or not, it's a good job. You know, he's done a good job there. And one of the
I liked him till the Edgar Cayce.
I know it's one of those things, you know. But on the other hand, he's done some good research. So I'm looking at the research, and what he's found is that that there is again a frequency, and it's this one's up in the ultraviolet light frequency band. So it's invisible to our eyes, but essentially...
It's how the insects see, though, on that one.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
It's essentially what is coming through the DNA. It's the light that the DNA emits. And what happens with cancer cells is that the carcinogens, they divide the frequency. You know, if you put a crystal in front of light, it'll split it up.
Yeah.
And it's dividing the frequencies by taking the lower frequencies and the higher frequencies. And slowing them down. So by changing the frequency, you change the light acceptance ability of the cell to achieve the right frequency in order to reproduce correctly. And that's how cancer will...
Because every cell has a bioelectric field around it
exactly.
as well.
And it runs on this particular frequency. So,
and that actually ties in with the fact that some of these implants that people are having cannot be detected in the the old fashioned way with the kind of like metal detectors or whatever you want to call them. I can't remember the CAT scan things.
Yeah.
Because they've been reported. Stan Romanek has had one actually analysed, and his was made of crystal, but he had it removed, and it was in a little. Like test tube, and it exploded the test tube. Now this was actually analysed, and it had all the circuitry and everything within it. So what you've just said then, if we have these crystal implants in our bodies, anything that is any kind of light frequency that is put onto that, it will actually change it, won't it?
Yeah, it'll distort it.
And change the frequency of whatever it is that you're doing or you're being, or it's like remote controlled health check, whatever, even to your detriment. If
they
it's
can
my
turn
labs.
A knob and it will change the frequency and you'll get sick and die. Yeah.
Or they can actually take you, remove you from your place of being. I hate the word abducted. Sorry. And do it there. Like I had the green light and the crook of my eye, even though I actually think that was an ET experience, not a my labs. That kind of thing. If the military are using the same technology. And ET can tune into the harmonic resonance of our DNA. There's no way that they need us to be chipped. If there's anything like that, it's imprinted in our energy field, not as an actual solid object in the body. I think anybody who's got an implant, I think it's been put there by a person and not an alien. So, you know, if they're using the same technology and we've got these crystal chips, and I suspected after the research that I've done and everything that what was happening in that experience is what I was actually having one put in the back of my hand, and they were testing the nerve functions on the other hand. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I've got I don't know what you'd call it. It's an app on the phone, but it's really sensitive, you know, for detecting metal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, when I go to my wrists, it goes nuts. But when I go to the exact spot where I know that something was put in, it does nothing. And I'm like, well, and I've got pins in my knee, so I've actually put it up to my knee and it goes, you know what I mean? Mm. When I put it on that bit of my hand, nothing. And you would think that a piece of metal in your skin would do that, because it's absolutely hypersensitive, is this thing that I've used. So, you know, it lends me to believe, after listening to Stan, that these chips are now crystals, so they're undetectable in that sense now.
They'll work on a different frequency band entirely.
Yeah, but they've also obviously got other applications, haven't they? If we're talking about bending light and frequencies and shifting, changing, blah, whatever we've just talked about, then, you know, that could be done.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, basically, I think, you know, anything that anybody could think of has probably been done. And, you know, certainly anything that's ever been in a science fiction film was, like, more or less documentary rather than fantasy. You know, it was just the way that they could leak it out. And it was entertainment for the people who work in the industry.
Well, no, my dad used to say when we were watching Star Trek when I was a kid, oh, we'll see this technology one day, probably not in my lifetime, about 100 years. And this is 1979, you know what I mean? Where are we now? Woohoo! Hello! beam me up, Spotty.
Spotty. So, we're whacking through the hour here. So, we're coming up to the next half hour. So, I want to play another tune. This one is by Steve Hillage. Now, you've heard of Steve Hillage, haven't you?
Never. I'm not old enough.
Oh.
I'm just going to say that until you put some acid out on.
Actually, how about some Blue Marten?
Sorry, who, dear?
Do you know Blue Marten? They're very new.
Danny, who, dear? You put whatever you want on Love, I'll
anyway,
listen to it.
So this track is Steve Hillage, and it's called Unidentified Flying Being.
And, that's me.
It's, Steve Hillage was a member of Gong. You heard of Gong? David Allen?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, he was like hippie rock. Hippie rock, tree-hugging hippie rock. Here we go. Unidentified flying being. So, welcome back, and that was Steve Hillage with Unidentified Flying Silence. I put it back on. Bless it. Oh dear. Yeah, that's. I'm going to have to edit this program. Well, I'm going to have to take the commercial music out of it anyway, before it goes on the archive. So it's got to be edited. But
so are we not on the air?
We are on the air, I'm on the air with Sasha Christie.
Are you sure?
The infomaniac housewife. Yeah. So how did that happen? How did you get that moniker?
I don't even know. Right. Basically, I was helping this guy, InfoFeeder, sort his website out. Not actually doing the mechanics of it, but, you know, getting all the information loaded on it, all his good links and things, you know, getting going. And I was going to be on that. I had, like, my blog was going to be on there, blah, blah, blah. But it all got a bit weird. And I just thought, oh, God, can't work with other people. Don't play well with others. Got to go. And, but I sort of registered on a few forums and what have you as InfoFeeder. InfoFeeder 2, to be honest, but, you know. And I thought, well, I can't. Hmm?
Where are you going, lass? Sasha?
My turn. I muted myself.
Oh. I thought she'd been abducted. Oh.
Chronic Ironic is very pleased. So where did I get to? Yeah, InfoFeeder, helping a man build a website. All went wrong. I ran away. And the name just popped into my head, and it made me laugh a lot, so I thought, oh, sod it, I'm having that, definitely.
Definitely.
So there you go, Infomaniac Housewife. And by the way, I've never been married, and I was definitely never married to Larry Warren. Which is one of the, you know, the grapevine rumours. I would have been about 12, unless people are accusing him of something else now.
Well, you know.
You know.
Pope and all.
So, actually, seeing as I'm speaking about Larry, I might as well start talking about the conference.
Yeah, damn fine idea.
Oh, right, the Rendlesham Forest incident, 1980, massive UFO event, next to two American Air Force nuclear bases in the UK. A whole series of events. Day one, two of the patrolmen have gone out, they've seen this pyramid in the woods, they've got up, they've touched it, drawn all the symbols on the side of it, it's flown away. And then more activity the next third night, there's all sorts going on. There's a crashed UFO in a field, and it's all bright and wow, and all these people are everywhere, it's all absolutely nuts. And this has been a mystery for the past 30 odd years now. And the conference is planned, it's on the 17th of June at the Woodbridge Community Hall. The website for it's rendlesham ufo.com. The ticket's £20, £20, not that. And we've got Alan Godfrey speaking, and this is the last time he's ever going to speak publicly on what happened to him. And he was a police officer who he came into contact with UFOs on duty. Captain Robert Salas was the Minuteman, the base commander at the I can't even believe I've forgotten the name of the
base. And this is the one that was on the press conference.
Anyway, this is the one where all the September's press release thing, And we've got Larry Warren, who actually blew the whistle on this entire story and has carried the spiky end of the pineapple right up his backside for all that time. Finally, is he being seen for what he actually is, which is a national hero. So here we go. And so he's speaking. We've got Timothy Good. He's speaking. Peter Robbins is speaking. He wrote Left at Eastgate with Larry, and he's also done lots of other amazing research and has got some very interesting ideas about things. Gary Heseltine speaking, and he is a serving CID police officer who runs a website called Proofos, which is for police officers who report UFOs. And he's done a lot of research into the Rendlesham Forest incident, and he's had his own encounters as well, so that's a really interesting story. And Jennifer Stein, she's, I'll just read her bio because I don't know her. She's an artist, entrepreneur, activist and documentary filmmaker, and she's been reading, researching and travelling into crop circles for 10 years, first-hand exploration and examination, which not all crop circles are real. Not all crop circles are fake, and there are ways to tell, so I'm sure she'll run us through that. And I might as well announce actually now that I've been invited to speak, and I've quite gleefully accepted, and you'll be hearing all my jibber jabber again.
Excellent. Are you going to be
so for £20? And yes. That is just an amazing bargain.
Wow. £20 is $30 in American. Just to translate it.
Well, I have no idea. Only work with the metric system.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you couldn't get something like that for $30. This is absolute bottom floor bargain. I hope you're. Are you going to be transmitting this on the web or recording it or videoing
it's
it or
be,
anything?
Recorded. I don't know. We're probably going to get some kind of TV stream on the website or something. I have no idea. But it is going to be recorded. Whatever happens to that, it will be available at some point in time. And I have no further details.
But they will appear on a certain website.
Yes, sashachristie.com.
Yay, how do you spell that?
I always forget about myself, I plug everybody else.
Feed you this. www.sashachristie.com. I can never spell Christ. Christ.
Christ.
Christie.com. No.
My name.
.com.
To my name, it means defender of a mankind and follower of Christ.
Oh, right.
I didn't even know that till 2 years ago. I was like, are you absolutely joking? a mankind. What is that exactly? What is that, so specific or what?
Well, that's what the Christ is. You know, the Christ is supposed to be the...
No, no, it's the defender. I defend the witness and the contactee.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I thought, well, that one didn't pass me by anyway. Well, it's all the spelling, isn't it?
Mm.
There's a lot of
spells. Yeah. We've got a couple of hosts who are really into this, Thomas and Tracy. They're always ripping words apart and, you know, spelling and grammar.
Oh my God, I am so into that.
Making
really
spells and the grimoire. Yeah.
The grimoire.
Yes. The book of spells. So, yes, people have loved the sound of your voice and we're getting a wonderful guest, JP. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed this show, actually. It's been really good fun. Nice one.
Yeah, well, we've still
got
another...
Faster. I mean, when we were on the back, I was like, what, have we been on for an hour and a half?
Yeah.
What are you kidding?
Yeah.
But I've dried up now. Got to go.
Oh, she dried up. The question is, where does the guest live? Where do you live, Sasha?
I live in Yorkshire, specifically in Leeds.
Which is a town.
So, yep. It's a city. It's a very large one as well.
Cheers.
And it's just as manky as any other large city.
Do you live in, like, the inner part of it or sort of towards the southern?
Yeah, I can see the city centre, literally, from where I am. However, where I live is, like, the burbs, you know. I've got a big park in front of me. I've got some woods to the left, but the looming, changing landscape is there, and it's, like, I can't actually see. You have to go kind of, like, to the top of the hill, which is only, like, I don't know, maybe a quarter of a mile where you can see it all. And I was thinking to myself, do you know what? In the future, these buildings are going to be so tall, I'm actually going to be able to see them from my house. Not that I'll be here. I'll be living on the moon or something. But, you know, by that, you know, give it 20 years, there'll be something in Leeds that's like 50,000 feet high. Space elevator.
And to do a false flag, they'll fly a UFO into it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just for the insurance.
So Leeds, yes, in northern England.
Well known for its football hooligans, in fact.
Hooligans? Oh, I thought that was...
Hooligans, yes. Yeah. Brilliant word, that. I love it.
Yeah. Where's that from?
I don't know. I've not picked that one apart, but I prefer fooligan, I think. Just go around beating everybody up because they've got a little bit over-emotional, too much testosterone going on or something. I don't know. It's all very strange to me. I think you lot call football in America bananas or something, don't you?
Soccer. They call it soccer.
Do you not call it English football? Like we call it American football.
Well, they call football. They call what we call rugby football. I don't know what they call rugby, actually. I think that they probably don't even realise that we have a game called rugby, which is more like their football than
well, it is
football.
Like American football. It's like football. Yeah. Without the padding.
It's a game played by men with odd-shaped balls.
With very, very strange noses.
Flat noses, yeah.
Seven directions at the same time. They normally only have about four teeth left, and they're right at the back.
That's right. They call it the gentleman's, one of these gentleman's games, but it's the roughest thing, and most people end up brain damaged from it, don't they? if not face damaged, you know, they got like noses spread all across their face. Cauliflower ears, no helmet.
Like, what is that about? I mean, oh my God. Brain damage there, it's shocking.
That's right, and these are the people who are supposed to be running the country.
Bred to run the country. Although, do you know what would surprise me if we saw Frank Bruno in Downing Street? Seriously. He's just telling me, he's going, oh, yeah, all right, yeah, blah, 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 Harry. You know, so... and all the Sun readers would love it!
I'm just seeing if there's any more questions. We can answer questions. We've got a few more minutes to take some questions. But, there's someone called Bentwaters there. All right. That's interesting.
Oh, is there?
There's someone you know.
Maybe.
Bentwaters. and I'm just trying to think. If you had your druthers, how would the world be for you? What would be a kind of perfect world for you, Sasha?
Oh, good God. You asked me this at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Well, we'd have unicorns, that fly instead of taxis. And everything would be free, and we'd all just do whatever it is we're good at, and it wouldn't involve churning out loads of poison into the atmosphere 24/7 without a minute's break, and then deciding to put more stuff in because that's going to make it better somehow. Poisoning the ground, poisoning the food. No, that wouldn't be going on, you know. I won't say so much as back to basics because I would simply die without my internet. But we don't have to have toxic waste to have energy.
That's right.
Everything is energy. It's all just there. All we need to do is just absorb it from the atmosphere and have somebody who's brilliant at doing that kind of thing make a gizmo that means I can plug my laptop into it. And that'd be fine. I'm not bothered about TV. No, there would be no TV. Definitely no news. And if there was, it'd be all happy stories because there wouldn't be any glumness and poison and death and murder and rape and war. And war. And there wouldn't be any war either.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I was playing do you know Cliff High? Are you familiar with Cliff High?
No.
The Webbot man. Anyway, he's got some interesting insights into things.
Oh, Webbot.
Webbot. Webbot man. Anyway, and he was saying that if we didn't have the central bank financial system and we used bitcoins and lets and other kinds of currency.
Oh, shiny buttons that were actually real and there that you could swap for something real and there that they're not pretending to lend you so they can come back and take something real and leave you with a massive amount of numbers that you've got to clear.
Yeah. But if we had none of that, there would be no war.
So, what?
Isn't that a very interesting concept? No money, no debt, no war.
No, I suppose. I don't know.
No debt. Imagine how the world will be without debt. Just that.
God, what do we do? We go, what? I don't have to go to work. I can do that.
Yeah.
And get that. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'll swap my bottle of wine for your jars of jam. Yeah. Fab. Oh, the thing that does my nut in. This is it for me.
Okay, here we go.
Recycling glass. All right, recycle your broken glass. But when you're churning out 10 billion, exactly the same, vodka bottles, gin bottles, blah bottles, bottles, then taking it to a metal box and smashing it so that it could be picked up by something that needs petrol or diesel or whatever, and takes forever because it's so sluggish and heavy, to a plant to melt it down, which takes more blah, 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 to turn it back into the same freaking bottle it was in the first place.
They could have just washed it, eh?
What? Why did they just put it all in a van and go back to the vodka factory where they could just give it a little bit of a wash, put a new label on it, because they could just have like a little thing that blasts the labels off and gives it a good squirt clean, you know, high pressure doodah, whatever, and, you know, makes perfect sense to me.
Just like they used to do with our great big milk bottles, eh?
Well, you could even get... Oh, my God. You could, if you'd had a good party, you could go take your bottles back and get another bottle of vodka.
Now there's an economy that I can get behind, eh?
I think that makes perfect sense. Yes, that would happen in my world.
There would be a whole bottle recycling plant, especially.
This
for
is my
bottles.
New world order, people. Sign up at sashachristie.com.
We'll take your orders, madam.
Where else are you going to get flying unicorns instead of taxis?
Actually, you know, most of what you're talking about, that's entirely possible. You know, apart from the unicorn taxi, I don't know where would you sit. It might be a bit uncomfortable.
We'd have a saddle. I mean, come on. We've still got stuff in my world. Comfy stuff. I'm not a Spartan. No, you're all going to have to sit on furniture made from trees and you're going to have to saw them down with a herring.
And if you've ever tried sawing a tree down with a herring, you'd know how difficult that was, ladies and gentlemen.
If I ever met the knights who were saying, nee, I would. Give it a go, at least.
So, so everybody's liking that in the idea. That's a pretty good idea. So, suddenly everything's kind of slowed down. Let's take it a little bit. So, you've got your website. You've got your conference coming up. Have you got any other speaking? Have you got any other speaking dues?
Well,
doing any gigs?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Me being the UK director for ICAR, Joe Montaldo is actually putting on a conference in Atlanta in the fall, which is obviously autumn to us. Non-specific dates, etc. Lastminute.com with Joe usually, so, you know, I'm up for that anyway. I'm not bothered, I'm going to Atlanta to speak. And I've also got my own radio show coming up, and that's called Citizen Sane. And, yes, we'll be talking about everything. No holds barred.
Excellent. And what station is that on?
The Paranormal Radio Network.
Which is available
and
on...
also which is paranormalradionetwork.com.
Uh-huh.
Available on the Tinterwobble. And also, it runs through the Pal Talk chat system as well. So, yeah, that's good fun. I've been on Pal Talk for years now. I don't know why more people don't use it. It's really funny.
What is it? Pal Talk?
Pal Talk, yeah. Yeah, you go to, onto the, you download the program, you go to Social Issues and Politics, click Other, and that's where we're all hiding out. Yeah, right. It's brilliant.
And is it like a chat room or
It's a chat room and the radio show runs through it and it's on all day so you can listen to sort of like the archive shows. And it's brilliant. You can just talk to people like us because with it being in social issues and politics, you don't normally get all the idiots turning up going, take me to your leader, blah, whatever. All that nonsense that you have to put up with. There's like a couple of coast-to-coast rooms and there's the UFO Paranormal Radio Network and I've got a room that I'll be opening soon which is, that's called Citizen Sane as well. And I'll also be running on my website, I've got a VoIP system so I could have up to 50 people in there having a good old natter. And we'll be covering some hot topics there, I should imagine as well. So one thing I am good at doing is talking, so we might as well, capitalise on that.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Gift of the gab. Just never stops giving.
Yeah, all right, okay, so I have a first question. First of all, this is from Pop.
I've just seen that.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an honour. Thank you, Pop. You rock.
Very good. And Tobias is asking, when are the live radio shows, Sash, is on? So,
I don't know yet, but all information will be available on my website, my Facebook page, and my Twitter. I've gone spam bot.
She's gone completely spam bot.
It wasn't even my idea. I don't even think to do all these things. I go, Twitter, ugh, I can't stand it. Yeah. You can only say like four words. What's the point in that?
You have to boil them overnight until they dry.
No, I can't do it.
Here's one. Have you ever encountered benevolent ETs?
I think that the ones that I've been interacting with since I've been little are fairly benevolent. They do not have big black eyes. They have, they're like little old people, little progeria people with wispy hair. And they have, expressions on their faces. They're not scary. Mm. And one time I remember coming back. And I was actually, and the only reason I know this has happened because Travis Walton has said this in his book and I read it and I couldn't believe it. I was like, so that was really real, brilliant. I was stood on this, it was like a glass platform, but it wasn't glass, it was rippling. It was like water, but electricity, electric water. And I was actually in space and I was like traveling at a diagonal back down to the planet and I could see it. And I was like, oh my God, you just do not get the impact of that when you look at it on the television or a picture. It is so bright, it's so luminescent, it is so blue, it is so beautiful, it's like awesome. That was awe. And I thought, wow, God, was I astral traveling? What was it? But I remember standing on this thing. Now, when I read Fire in the Sky, Travis says when he wakes up on the bed, he jumps off it and he's wandering around trying to figure out where he is, what the hell is going on. And he sees this open doorway and in the doorway, he sees a chair and a panel that's just got one controller and a button or something. And he goes up to it and he steps on it And all of everything disappears, and he's just like he's standing in space. Yeah. And he put his hand on this knob thing, this lever, and moved it, and the craft moved. And he said everything, all his view changed. I was like, I must have been shown that. That must have been a treat for me.
Did they let you drive?
I don't know if they let me drive. They just let me see my home.
I wouldn't mind driving a UFO, wouldn't that
be
cool? See,
this is what people forget, you know. Yeah. The Earth is all the home we have. Yeah. And these demonic mechanoids have got this idea that they're actually in control of it and not a product of it, contained within it. And we've got to get off our asses and get on with it and do something. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how small it is. Just get out and march. Get out and tell people. Just learn how to talk about the subject properly so that people can listen to you and don't go brain blind. It's okay shouting, wake up, sheeple! Rah, 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 rah. Nobody wants to listen to that.
No.
It's time to start being reasonable about it and presenting what you know to be true in a way that people can take on board. Find something, a little thing that they can't deny, just one of them, and hit them with it first. You've got their attention, and then the next one down, and then you can move on at stages. People that I live near, they're absolutely on it now. Even my friend's son, he'd been given some homework from school, and it was you have to make up a sum, a mathematical problem with words. So three men get on a bus, move to the next stop, four get on, five get off, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, right, there were four chemtrails in the sky. And his mum goes, right, brilliant. And she's laughing, like, and she goes, so how are we going to get rid of any of those chemtrails? Because if anything else is going to happen, there's just going to be more of them. And he was like, oh, yeah. So he had a little think, and he went, right, there were four clowns at a party. First thing he said was chemtrails. I thought, brilliant. I'm even getting to the kids. The kids, my daughter, she's like, Mum, look at state of the sky over at school, sending me text messages with photographs. And they're all on it, you know, because they need to know as well. Mm. You can't hit them with everything when they get older. Yeah, protect them from the world, because it is a bloody miserable place at times. It's how you make it, and it's how you deliver it. So, you know, it's like, they need to know about it. It's like you can't protect them from everything and then get to the 16th birthday and go, right, son, got a few things to tell you. Every single year you eat at least 13 pounds in weight, however many kilograms, 26 kilograms in weight, in chemical additives in your food. Congratulations. Now, something else I've got to tell you. Right, these chemtrails that you've seen all your life, they shouldn't actually be there. This is what it is. This is what it does. This is what Monsanto are doing. This is blah, blah, blah. Right. No, you can't do that. You've got to tell them, but you've just got to have a way to tell them.
Yeah.
So think about how you think about things and think about how you say things and have something really undeniable to say first and, you know, present it in a way that will actually make them think. And then when you see that look on the face, like, oh, you've got them, you know. But don't scream, wake up, sheeple, you stupid sheeple. Oh, you all deserve to die if you're not listening to me.
Yeah, that's a big, everybody wants your attention, yeah.
Hold on, pal, I'm not talking to you, sheeple. Who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
That's so elitist, you know. The elite call us rats, and the elite of our world, the awakened and the enlightened, call us sheeple. I mean, who the hell is born with the innate knowledge of everything? And who knows it all? Nobody. So, you know, if you're going to talk like that, you're an idiot. That's just my opinion. You can sue me for it, but, I mean, I ain't got any money, so there'll be really no point. But, you know, you've got people have just got to start talking instead of carrying on alarming, you know.
We have. I think we've got to be a lot calmer about the way we put things. You know, the Alex Jones approach really doesn't work in Britain because, you know, immediately.
I love him. He's so funny. I laugh at him more than go, ooh. You know, but he's right as well. I understand that fire. I get it. You know what I mean? But he does sound like he smoked 20 bags of gravel a day.
Smoking gravel.
I mean, if he carries on like that, he's going to be shouting through one of those voice things that make you sound like that because his voice is going to just stop working. You know? And David Icke, oh, wow. I mean, that man, Jesus, he's just so brilliant. I mean, you know, he gets a lot of flack, but my God, he tells you stuff. Doesn't matter where he's got it from. We all get our ideas from other people. You know, it's how you put them together and it's how you put them out there that's important. Mm. You know, so stop giving him a hard time. You know what I mean? The guy has gone from zero to hero. And, you know, it's like Marmite, isn't it? You just like the way somebody presents something or you don't. They'll listen to somebody saying exactly the same things in a different way, a flowery way that's been channeled from bloody whatever, because they're special, you know. And, but no, and all these people who were can't wait to ascend, get a grip. What do you even think that means? My God, you know, if somebody's religious says, I can't wait for the rapture, they go, jump all over and rip them to shreds like lions in the den. Then they can say ascension. You know, brain boink. I'm sorry, but it's just, it's this sort of thing that I want to talk about now. This is what I'm going to be writing about. People need to get a grip of themselves. Stop being so judgmental. Stop thinking you're the big I am. Just, we're all in the same boat, you know, and there's too much politics going on, wasting time chitter-chattering about crap that's totally irrelevant when there's real issues going on that we're not accrediting any worth. We're not stopping it. Oh, who am I? We've got, have you seen the little cartoon, the tiny dot? If you haven't, Google tiny dot cartoon. That is amazing. It's one tiny little black dot telling all these massive red, yellow, green, blue dots what to do. You know, and we're all going, okay. And I'm sorry, I'm not anymore. And I don't think anyone else should be, because you know what? This is our world. We pay for it. We're slaves to it. We're trapped in it. The only thing that is missing, really, are bars at the edges of the countries. You know, let's face it, it is a prison planet in more ways than one.
They've installed it in our heads.
Absolutely.
Installed, pre-installed. Sasha, Claire, Christy... Infomaniac. Yes, I just love to say that because it's so, you know. Star. You're brilliant. Oh, thank you very much for appearing on Ever Beyond this evening.
Well, thanks very much for letting my brain fart at you for 2 hours.
And it smells of roses, my dear. It smells of roses.
Of course. English roses, darling.
Absolutely. An English
and rose. Yorkshire ones too, yep. Yorkshire roses.
So, thank you very much for...
Thanks for having me. Thanks, guys, in the chat room.
It's been excellent. So, we're going to be coming up with... I'm going to probably play another bit of music and then maybe an archive. We've got 2 hours until... the Muggsy Stroke Colleen show. I've got Colleen Thomas on at 3 a.m. Here at Wolf Spirit Radio, and we'll be joining her then. And until then, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much, Sasha Christie, and here's
Tarara bit.